Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right. We call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball.
On the right wing, in and out dribble, between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I'm very nice.
And the saint, Gary St. Jean.
Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable show delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean here, reminding you that the Warriors 2025-26 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. We're taking your calls all hour long. If you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570 is the number. The Warriors just getting done with 4 days in Minneapolis, splitting a back-to-back with the Minnesota Timberwolves after Saturday's game was postponed. And we'll start with this, Gary, and then we'll move on to the basketball stuff. But I was on emergency backup duty for Sunday's game. I got the call Saturday once the game got postponed to come over to Minnesota after my Santa Cruz game on Saturday and to do the game on Sunday. And I was there, and I was there because a man was shot and died. And if you're a news consuming America, you've probably seen this man's death, Alex Preti, dozens of times. And it was just a really sad situation. It was weird kind of doing a game because of that. And when I'm on the air for Golden State Warriors games, usually something bad has happened. I'm filling in because of a family emergency for someone else on the broadcast crew. So usually it's not a good reason why I'm on the air. This was, I mean, quite literally the worst reason I could be doing a game is because a man was shot and died, and we all saw it across the country. And just being in that city, my Uber driver told me he was at the protest the day before. It was all the Warriors players and staff are shot from the hotel, the protest on Friday before this recent shooting. Minneapolis is going through a lot right now, and it almost felt trivial to do a game. And like in the third quarter, the Warriors are pulling away, and obviously like it's exciting from a basketball perspective. I look back, I'm like, really, should I have been as excited? Like, this is not your normal basketball game. This is a somber situation. So that was something I kind of struggled with. How do you cover this? I'm a Northwestern alum on the grad school side of things. I went to Medill School of Journalism. And so just kind of thinking about all these things and what was going on in the city, it made for certainly a tough situation. I mean, obviously for the people in Minneapolis, for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and just to see what went down, it was a tough situation for sure.
Well, first, I extend the sympathies to their family and all their friends, and I applaud the NBA and the Warriors and the Timberwolves organization for making the decision not to play out of respect to that family.
Yeah.
And then I applaud the people of Minneapolis for our Warrior players. Many a time I've been in Minneapolis, and it was so cold, Kev, you couldn't even see out your window in the hotel room because they were all frosted over. So I know exactly where you were, and you're in walking distance to the Target Center. And you look out your window, and there's all these people, you know, 10 below zero out there with a message. You know, it's a terrible happening that's going on in our country, and it needs to stop. And I love the voice of the people. And, you know, I was chatting earlier today on another show, and I just said, we've got so much anger and so many people arguing. And, you know, it's not that hard to be nice to people. Say something nice to somebody and have a civil discussion. And you were right. I could see the T-Wolves players' faces. They didn't really want to compete. It wasn't there. They were really feeling terrible about what went on in their city. And I have a lot of respect and sympathy for all those people. And with that said, we then have the second game where I thought they might call you to dress for the Warrior for the Warriors, because they had more guys not dressed than dressed, and so it was a really kind of a different 2 days. And you know, on to Utah, and I applaud you for finding a darn flight from San Jose up to Minnesota, because that's a good 4-hour flight.
Yeah, yeah. So here was the route, and thank you for those words. Very well said, Gary. Appreciate your perspective there for sure. So I had a 7 p.m. game in Santa Cruz on Saturday night, and then it's 11:56 p.m. flight to Chicago, 50-minute layover, get into Minneapolis. I got in around 10 a.m. And L.J. Cryer, he wasn't on my flight, but L.J. Cryer played in Santa Cruz on Saturday and played in Minneapolis on Sunday. So he had an overnight flight, too. I don't know when he got in town. So, I mean, as we kind of transition to talking about basketball, not to trivialize what has gone down in Minneapolis, but this is Warriors Roundtable. We will discuss basketball here. But, yeah, I mean, L.J. Cryer had quite the turnaround. Then Malachi Lyons played real minutes in the fourth quarter of Monday's game. He was not there Sunday. Let's start with the Monday game first, because as you mentioned, this turned into a schedule loss the moment the first game got postponed, because really, you know, Steph had been dealing with something. You know, Melton and Horford aren't playing back-to-backs, and it was kind of – or yeah, Draymond didn't play as well. This kind of turned into, as Santa Cruz had a game Monday in Salt Lake City as well, it kind of turned into organizational take one on the chin day, because Santa Cruz only had 7 guys available as a result of LJ and Malachi playing. All the Warriors players were unable to play. Of course, Jonathan Kuminga's injury. And, you know, I thought they put in a pretty good effort for like the first 20 minutes of that game, then really kind of got away from the Warriors at the end of the second quarter.
You know, Kev, we didn't have these days back in the old days. You didn't have game management stuff. So, you know, you had a strategy there to go for it on game one, and you did it. And I applaud those guys that played. I thought they really played hard on the road and competed and got a heck of a win. To win up there is tough. Now, they're struggling. Yeah. I don't know what's going on in that locker room, but they don't look like the team they were 10, 15 games ago. They'll snap out of it, but right now they're not playing well. But a praise to the Warrior guys. I thought they did a heck of a job. I love the ball movement. And, you know, Kev, we can get into a breakdown. But for me, Jimmy Butler's out. But to not have Steph out there entirely changes the way you play.
Absolutely.
The respect that he has on the floor with and without the ball changes every single possession in the game. If you're a drifting guy for a shot, you're going to be open because your defender's going to sink in to help on any drive or drift by Steph Curry. If he's not playing, now they can play you chest to chest and get up there in your grill. So it's a very different game. And the fluidity, this is where you talk about Draymond. When he's in the point forward position, with dribble handoffs, with pick and pops, pass and pick, I'm going to tell you. And then he gets action down low and he hits guys on back doors or he hits Steph on a back door. It's a different game when those guys are on the floor. And those guys, you know, they got beat. But I think it's a great opportunity for them to get minutes and feel good about themselves, because in game one, you know, I thought a lot of the role guys played at a very high level, and it was a heck of a win.
So to that last point you made, so a guy like Moses Moody, who's been really solid, I mean, he's tied the longest stretch of his career with 8 straight games in double figures, and he reached double figures last night.
Yeah.
He was solid last night, but in a game where there's no Stephen Curry, no Draymond Green, no Jimmy Butler, no Jonathan Kuminga, no Al Horford, no DeAnthony Melton, Moses Moody needs to be more than solid for Golden State to have a chance to win. He has to be great in a game like that, and he was solid. And unfortunately, in that situation, it's just not going to cut it for Golden State. Like, they had a chance to make some headway in the first half of the third quarter, even after the Timberwolves built that lead up to 15 by halftime. Minnesota couldn't hit the backside of a barn for, like, the first 5 minutes of the third quarter. Yeah. But the Warriors only scored 4 points in the first 5 minutes of the third quarter. Yeah. They had a chance to get back into it, and then once Minnesota finally started hitting shots, the Warriors just didn't have the personnel to keep up.
Yeah. You know, you talk about Moody, and I don't know if I'm going to make one or you or me president, but I'm going to make us co-vice president of his fan club. You and I have been talking about him for darn close to a year, looking at his upside. And this isn't trivial that he's gotten double figures all these games in a row. I think he's really starting to get comfortable. And that's what happens with a young guy. But in another aspect that's earned the respect of his teammates and the coaches, every night he brings it defensively. And, Kev, I think he's a smart defender. He studies the game plan. If, in fact, he has to guard Edwards, he has to know whether he goes left for the jump shot, he goes right all the way to the hoop. He has to know the tendencies of when he's going to get the step back. And he, unfortunately, being who he is, he's going to get a chance to guard the other team's best wing player offensively. And I think he's doing a darn good job. I sure hope it continues. And, you know, I don't think there's any reason why this scoring can't go up a little bit. And again, the more with Butler out, teams are now going to double team a lot on Steph. And they're going to say, somebody else beat us. So what happens then? You get wide open shots if you're Moody. I think the shots are going to get even easier because so many teams are now going to play Steph in a different way.
Yeah, you're right on, Gary. And there's a reason why I've been saying I'd like to see him get to 15 points per game. He scored 19 on Sunday in the win. When Moses Moody scores at least 15 points in a game this year, the Warriors are 9-1 as a team. It's almost like a barometer.
Wow.
Like if Moody's having a game, the Warriors are probably going to win.
That is a great stat. I love those kind of things. And they just fall into place. I was watching a game yesterday, and one team, if they were 20-0 when they were up at half, I'm like, whoa. You know, the stats that are out there nowadays are amazing. And you know, I just liked how I liked Post. I thought he did a good job. And Kev, you holding out on me. You didn't even tell me about this guy that got, well, how do you say it? Leon?
Yeah, Malify Leones.
So this guy gets on the court and I'm watching and I'm like, whoa, who the heck is this guy?
Yeah.
I had no idea what he's long. I'll say that for
him. He's all limbs.
And I got to tell you, what a thing for this young guy to get to play. I mean, it's an experience of a lifetime. It's great. And I'm still a fan of Cryer. And then the fact he went on the red eye and made it all the way there in time. That's great story. That's great stuff.
Yeah, I'll have to ask him when if he is back with Santa Cruz on Friday, what his route was, how he got there, because we probably arrived at around the same time. But join us live at Chase Center this Friday, January 30th, to see the Warriors versus the Detroit Pistons. First 10,000 fans get a Draymond Green Michigan State University bobblehead. Get your tickets now at Warriors.com. Or call 888-GSW. Representative standing by. Yeah, that'll be a really nice bobblehead to get. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will talk a little more about the two games in Minneapolis and take your calls. 888-957-9570 right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
The Santa Cruz Warriors are back at Chase Center. Bring your family on Sunday, March 1st to watch them take on the San Diego Clippers. Plus, the first 10,000 fans will score a Santa Cruz Warriors Jimmy Butler III bobblehead. Get your tickets now at ChaseCenter.com. And you might get a chance to see Patrick Baldwin Jr., former Golden State Warrior. He plays for the San Diego Clippers. Yeah. He's gotten a call up to the LA Clippers. He's having a really good year in the G League. Taking your calls here on 888 on 95.7 The Game. The number, 888-957-9570. One more thing from Monday's game I want to touch on. I thought that Austin Rivers and Robbie Hummel on the broadcast were terrific for Peacock. Like, for me, how they diagnosed Will Richard's shot, like his chin is behind his waist as he's kind of leaning back, and how they actually broke down game action. I think Kalen Ozebuki does a good job of this on TV. It was just really welcome, because sometimes you'll see other analysts at the national level not necessarily break down the game, but talk more in like big storylines. I want to hear about the nuts and bolts of the game. And I thought Austin Rivers and Robbie Hummel were terrific at that.
Well, I tell you, Robbie Hummel was a heck of a player at Iowa. And, you know, maybe not the quality to get into the NBA in his days, but he's become a heck of a college broadcaster.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Well-respected. So I'm not surprised, Kev, with what you're saying. And, you know, Austin's been around. Been with his dad, you know, when he was a young guy, and he's had a nice career. He's kind of played a little bit like, he's a little bit like Gary Payton, a little bit.
Okay. You know,
tough, hard-nosed kind of guy, maybe a little better offensive player, but had a great career at Duke. And
yes, he did.
I agree with you on the breakdown. That I'd like to see that more. Sometimes maybe the broadcasts go so fast that you don't have the opportunity to really get into that kind of stuff. But what do you think of the concept of having these guys on one end of the bench and then on the other end of the other bench, and then your guy doing play-by-play at midcourt? I don't know how it's being received, but so far I kind of like it.
Yeah, I'm surprised they talk over more than they do. Like, you don't really have, like, that line of sight, get a feel for when your partner's going to talk next. I'm surprised like how seamless it sounds.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, whether it's eye contact, whether you tip the table or whatever like that, who's going to talk? And that's a nice little aspect of broadcasting you have to know about. But they kind of just knew you made a point. Okay, then I'll make a point. And
Yeah,
I liked it. It was a good job. That's a new thing in the league.
Yeah, it is. Let's talk a little bit about the win on Sunday. We've diagnosed the loss on Monday. And obviously Minnesota's hearts weren't fully into the game, understandably, on Sunday. But you mentioned a little bit earlier, that was, I think, maybe the hardest I've seen the Warriors play all season. Like, Pods hitting the deck for loose balls, Steph doing the same, Moody doing the same, Will Richard all over the place. I mean, it was really impressive, the effort level that they were able to put forth in that game.
You know, it's infectious. It really is. It's like making shots, and you get in the groove. Then another guy makes one, and holy moly, then we're on fire. And just the same thing playing defense with that energy and effort, and then the loose ball, and you dive in, and next loose ball play, I'm diving. And, yeah, you love that. You know, that doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but I'll tell you what, that's winning basketball. When you do that, you're really impacting winning.
Yeah. A guy who's impacted winning for 17 years with Golden State, Stephen Curry, he actually entered the top 20 of the NBA all-time scoring list on Sunday. So he had 26 points on Sunday. He passed John Havlicek for 20th all-time. Oof. Now he's tied for 19th with Paul Pierce. I mean, you're from Massachusetts. You got any Hondo stories for us, Zane?
Oh, I got quite a few. Now, Johnny Most, the great announcer, used to call him Jarin John, the bouncing Buckeye from Ohio State. His nickname became Hondo. And because of Nelly, in 1980, we were at a Mexican restaurant. And John was in town for some advertisement thing. And so we went out for Mexican food. The next thing you know, we got shots of tequila. And John hardly drank. And then at the bottom of the bottle was some kind of, I don't know what they have in those bottles of tequila. The worm. There's a worm.
Yes,
so
yes, that's right.
Who do you think got challenged to drink the worm for good luck? Me.
You?
The young guy. And John's looking at me and he's laughing like hell. A couple of times we went out for dinner. We also played golf with him at McGuanago Springs in outside of Milwaukee. I got to tell you, Kev, you know how they had those Miller Lite commercials back in the day? Well, that a lot of Celtics did them, and Nelly did them. And so I had a great thing. Nelly's wife was a Baptist, and she didn't allow any liquor in the house. So there was an agreement with Miller that you got two cases a week. So Nelly had it delivered to my place. So I always had two cases of Miller Lite coming every week to my apartment. It was a beautiful thing. And John Havlicek is his class act. He was heavily involved with Hasbro toys. And he never did a commercial that had anything derogatory toward kids. He also had a lot of Wendy's because the head of the Players Association way back then was tied into them. Had a place on Cape Cod, and I just thought the world of him. He was a class act, and you're talking now, you're going. He kind of bridged the dynasties. He played with Russell and Cousy and all Tommy Hines and Sat Sanders, the Jones boys. And then he played with JoJo White. He played with Collins and Silas. That's one of the great ones that we've had in the NBA and the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a hell of a career, top 20. Now he's 21st now all-time scoring, and Steph passing him, just a huge accomplishment for Stephen Curry. Great, great Hondo stories there. Appreciate it, Saint. On another note from the game, Draymond Green, I mean, a masterclass defensively, offensively, 5 assists, 1 turnovers, but Rudy Gobert, Jerome Randle, a combined 5 of 14 from the field. And Draymond Green had said kind of, you know, after the Minnesota series that Jerome Randle took it to him. And then this was kind of a nice response here from Draymond Green.
Well, Randle was one of the guys that I thought was really affected by what happened up there. He really spoke from the heart after the game, how welcoming the people in Minnesota were to him, his family, his kids in school, every aspect about his family. And you could really feel that he was in a lot of despair. And, you know, Rudy Gobert is one of those guys, you don't like playing against them. I can tell you stories about having 7-foot guys and you're 6'9" and you're guarding them. Well, in this case, you got Draymond on a good day who's 6'6". So those elbows are way up high. And where are they? Right by your head.
That's
when
right.
When you catch the ball and bring it down to face level and you swing, you're right in that guy's schnozola. And I got to tell you, it's irritating. He's not fun to play against. But give Draymond credit. I talked about him on the offensive end and how much you got to respect him. But that was one of those master classes on the defensive end. The expression, do your work early. What the heck's that mean? Well, if he's trying to get in the low post, body him off the box or get in a position where you can three-quarter or you can front him and know that he's left-handed. So that means when he wants to go left, you get that right leg up there and not let him go to his right. You force left. You force him to the right and know where your help is. And that's just Draymond Green vintage play.
Is schnozola a technical medical term? I wasn't quite familiar with it.
All right. Now I'm going to go back. Maybe somebody's going to call in. Does anybody remember Jimmy Durante? Look him up.
I'm sorry. I don't know
the
name.
He was a great singer. And he sang a song about Mrs. Calabash. You got me going now.
Okay, let's go.
This guy had a nose. He'll never hit a wall with his face or his body because that schnozola would hit it first. Hysterical.
Okay, nice. We'll celebrate Black History Month on Warriors Ground. Join us live at Chase Center Tuesday, February 3rd as the Dubs face the Philadelphia 76ers. All fans, get a Warriors Black History Month hat. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representative standing by. We'll take a break. Come on back. Take your calls, 888-957-9570. Take a look ahead to the Utah Jazz and Detroit and Philadelphia coming to town when we return right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that!
Chicken!
What are you gonna do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. The Warriors finish up their four-game road trip in Salt Lake City tomorrow against the Utah Jazz. Tim Roy will have the call for you at 5:30 on the air, 6 p.m. tip time right here on 95.7 The Game. Then they're home to take on the Detroit Pistons, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time for Friday, January 30th. Tom Tolbert joining Tim Roy on the call. Then Tuesday, February 3rd against the 76ers, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. That is Black History Month game. And then Thursday, February 5th in Phoenix to take on the Suns, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time, followed by a trip to L.A. to take on the Lakers, 5 p.m. airtime, 5:30 tip time. You can listen to all those games right here on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean with you here as we look forward to the final game of this road trip in Utah tomorrow night. Again, if you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. And St., let's talk a little bit about this Utah Jazz team. Yeah, they're going to be in the lottery again. But they're a spunky team, and this year they have defeated Phoenix. They've won at Boston. They've beat Minnesota. They've defeated Houston. They've defeated Detroit. They've won at San Antonio. They have some really good wins. Look, if this was college basketball, they'd have a pretty good RPI, or net ranking, I guess it is now.
You know, Kev, it's like a whirling dervish of who the heck's going to play there. But I will say
That's
this.
Right.
They've got a style of play. And they're scoring a lot. They remind me like of the young Charlotte team right now that's scoring really high numbers with young players. Now, obviously, the key guy is Markkanen, and this guy's having a heck of a year, but he's missed a lot of action. I don't know if it's on purpose or if he's really hurt. And I'm a big fan of Kessler's, who's out for the year. He's a free agent. That'll be an interesting negotiation with Danny Ainge. And the third guy is this young guy, George, who really, what's he in third year? This guy can really score the basketball. I'm very, very impressed with him. And they've got some other role players, but those are their three key guys. Now, you must point out, they're playing the Clippers right after we close tonight at 7.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to do the same thing as the Warriors, back-to-back, and there'll be a lot of guys not playing. And that's just the way it's kind of going right now. And there, you look at them, Kev, and there's like five guys in the college ranks that are really big-time anticipation about them. Put one on them that's really good. And I forgot to mention the kid, Harper. Is that is Harper, or they got the other one, the young guy from Rutgers?
They have Ace Bailey. They have Ace Bailey.
Yeah, Bailey. Ace Bailey. And, you know, that guy comes along, and you got George, and they hit on the lottery well. Before you know it, they've got a lot of young pieces, and they're going upward.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy that's playing in Provo this year that I'm sure they would love to have next season, and A.J. Dibonsa.
How do you pronounce his name?
Dibonsa. And A.J. stands for Anice, A-N-I-C-E-T, but the T is silent. Anice, that's his father's name. So Anice Jr. is A.J. Dibonsa. A.J. Dibonsa.
I knew it.
I did one of his Oakland Soldiers games, one of his AAU games. He's coached. Yeah, I did for the NBA. So he and this guy, you'll know the name next year, Tyron Stokes. They were on the same AAU team. He could be the number one pick in 2027. They were on the same AAU team. And so AJ is now playing at BYU, who's coached by Kevin Young, his former G League head coach. Will Voigt's on that staff, another former G League head coach. So I always keep an eye out for BYU ever since Kevin Young took that job. And look, the Jazz would love
to have that guy. Yeah, my son Greg coached with him in Phoenix, Kev.
He was
on the staff there. He was the top assistant with Frank Vogel. And, you know, because of his relationships with Danny Ainge and the owners, I forget his first name, but his last name is Smith. And
Yeah,
and he's a big booster for BYU. So to get Kevin to go there and then get this young player, their program is really in good shape, and they're doing really well.
They really are. It's to your point, you mentioned back-to-back for the Utah Jazz. They have six guys out tonight. There were three others listed on the injury report. Keyonte George was out for rest in this game. So it looks like they might be saving their bullets for Golden State.
True. Well, hey, some guy had to eat a stat sheet or something because the Clippers have gone 15-3 since that challenge was put out. And they were talking about how they were going to cook it. You know, they were going to maybe put it in flour and oil and fry the piece of paper and eat it that way. And I was laughing like heck. Let me tell you what. I've never been a huge Harden guy. But that guy's been there every night. And yep. Say what you want about him. And then Kawhi Leonard's got it going. He's taking threes now. His game really is at a high level. I've always been a Zubac fan. The Clippers, they're going to get into playing. They'll be 9 or 10. Maybe they even get to 8, and they're formidable. They're a good team now.
Yeah, they're already in 10th right now. 15-3 since that 6-21 start. So it's been incredible. You mentioned Keyonte George, 24 points per game this year. Serious leap in his third year. His rookie year, he scored 33 against Golden State. He had like 9 threes in a game. Yeah, it was Klay's first game off the bench in like 12 years. I actually broadcast that game. I was in Salt Lake City for that one. Yeah, Keyonte, he's a hard handle this year. And he's shooting 90% from the foul line. He's getting to the line. Like there's something really there. I know that Will Hardy was coaching him hard, and that's been paying off.
Well, you know, Will Hardy, disciple of Greg Popovich, and he was with Danny Ainge in Boston. And oh, by the way, he played at Williams College, which is in the NESCAC, New England Small College Athletic Conference, with Amherst, Williams, Wesleyan, Tufts, Middlebury, Bowdoin, outstanding academic schools, kind of like Pomona and those small schools down in the LA area. And he was a very good player, Division III player. And my son Greg went to Wesleyan and played against them. And he's a quality guy. They've got a good young coach there.
Nice. Yeah, they certainly do.
That's a little trivia for you.
Yeah. I like that. Name all the schools in the NESCAC. That'd be a good trivia question. I think you're right. When you were talking about, you know, how much they score, I kind of think the Warriors might need to score 125 to 130 points tomorrow to win.
Yeah.
Because they can
Fun
really
game
get
to watch.
Going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you.
They had a 150-147 game against Chicago earlier this year. Like, I mean, whew. Yeah, Lawler's law need not apply to a Utah Jazz. First to 100, that's not.
Yeah, you better explain that.
Yeah, all right. So Lawler's law. Actually, RC Davis was the one who taught me that. First to 100 wins. Yeah, RC like he talked about Lawler's law. This is like my first or second year, maybe my first ever summer league. So I was like maybe 3 years into my G League stint. And I'm like, what's Lawler's law? And first to 100 wins. And there's actually a website that tracks this. The last time I checked, which was a couple of years ago, like the first team to 100 in NBA games wins like 92% of the time. So like the law is, I mean, it's not infallible, but it's a pretty good indicator.
Now, I got to tell you, this goes back before Ralph Lawler, who was a, you know, when you look back at the radio broadcasters, in the NBA, in the old days, holy moly, what a cast of characters.
Oh,
I mean, I can go around with him and Chick Hearn and Johnny Most and on and on and on. They were great guys. Well, there was a guy who played at St. John's and then became an NBA player and then coached. His name was Jack McMahon. I don't know if you remember the name. And coached the Cincinnati Royals when Oscar and Twyman and Connie Durking were playing for Cincinnati. And every year they'd get bounced out by my Celtics. But Jack later went to Philadelphia, and he was assistant coach for Billy Cunningham. Chuck Daly and Matty Gukas were the three assistants, and the other guy doing the film work was John Gabriel, who went on to be the GM in Orlando. Quite a staff.
Yeah, that's right.
And they had a great, great team. That was Moses Malone and Dr. J and Cheeks and Tony and Bobby Jones.
And was Jack, that the Fofo
way
Fo
back
team?
Then now. I'm talking early 80s. Okay. The coaches would go out for beers. And Jack was an English major. And he was a great Irish storyteller. And he's the one where Nelly and I learned Lawler. They call it Lawler's Law. But he was the one. He used to chart that on teams getting 100 first. Yeah, so I'm taking you back over 40 years ago.
I love it. No, I love stories like that. I was, as a broadcaster, I always found it wild that Lawler would do the game with a stick mic, as opposed to like a headset. And he'd be sitting courtside and he'd have that stick mic and old school, baby. Old school. So the Warriors finish up this road trip tomorrow. Then they come home and they're greeted by the Detroit Pistons, who have a commanding 5-game lead in the Eastern Conference. There's talk about the Pistons with how well this season has gone that maybe they need to find a second scorer or a ball handler at the deadline, just because a lot of their offense is so Cade-centric. Cade Cunningham, who's having a great year, is going to be an all-star starter. But how do you see this team as it's constructed? Do you think they need a little more punch offensively?
Well, Kev, what was the name of the guy that got in a little trouble there? Beasley, the good shooter?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. I think they miss him, and I think you're spot on when you evaluate that team. Cunningham, I heard a breakdown of him. He's kind of like a Walt Frazier, but a better shooter. Now that's high praise.
Yeah,
high praise. And then, I love Durant. Holy mackerel! That guy standing up. Can scratch below his knees. That's how long his arms are. And he's built like Man Mountain Dean. He is strong. Is he good. And, they got to cast the guys around those two key guys. That guy, what's his name? Yogi Stewart. He's a good defender coming in off the bench. And I think Timmy Hardaway's son is there. And But Cunningham, wow. I don't think they get enough respect yet nationally. And, Arne Tellem's there running the thing for him, an old agent, great guy.
Yep.
And they've done a terrific job. And Bernie Bickerstaff's son is coaching there and is getting a second opportunity after Cleveland and has earned a lot of respect. So, that is a quality team. You could win a debate with me if you thought they were the best in the East, because I think Boston's done a great job, but they're missing pieces. Is Tatum going to come back? And then you look at New York, and they just don't look as good as they did the first 30 games. They're in a tight game right now with Sacramento, who beat them 2 weeks ago up in Sacramento. And Orlando's not playing up to the level they should be playing at. And Cleveland is starting to play better. Mobley's playing great. Mitchell's playing great. Mobley's starting to play better. I think he's the key to that team, Kev. When he gets up to his potential, even though Garland's out, they're a heck of a team.
They really are. They have won 4 in a row. They're 28-20. They had a really tough first half of the season. So how do you guard with respect to Cade Cunningham, Walt Frazier with a better jump shot? How do the Warriors go about trying to stop that?
I think you kind of play him a little bit like we talked about Allen Iverson. Make him beat you over the top. Get angles so you take his drive away. Make sure you're back in transition. Make him pass it to the corner so he doesn't get layups and dunks. But I think in half-court game, think about elbows and boxes. Now, what the heck does elbows and boxes mean? The intersection of the free throw line and the free throw lane, those are the two elbows on either side. And we all know where the boxes are, the big boxes where guys box out for free throws. You got to take that penetration away. He is, boy, he's good. He can get a triple-double any night of the week. And I think this guy's about winning, Kev. I don't think he's about putting up big numbers. He wants to win. this is a franchise player that's elite and at a young age. What would you give him, Kev? 24 or 5?
So he was the 2021 number one pick. Assume he was 19 when he got drafted. So yeah, he's looking at 24 probably. Okay. Yeah.
Boy, what respect. I love the guy.
Yeah, no, he's been awesome these last 2 years. JB Bickerstaff and that crew with Isaiah Stewart, with Jalen Duren. Tim Hardaway has moved on to the Denver Nuggets, but he was a part of that team last year. But yeah, no, the Warriors have their hands full in that game. And then Philadelphia is going to be an interesting test too. They're right now playing the Bucks. They got a 4-point lead, and so a nice 3-day break between games, but. The Sixers, I mean, they had last year was a disaster for them from an injury standpoint. But Joel Embiid, these last few couple of weeks, I mean, he's looking like MVP, maybe not MVP Joel Embiid, but much closer to his old self.
Fantastic. I watched those games, and I said, golly, I got to get myself some of that drink. That guy, man, is he. He looked fantastic, making threes, taking you off the bounce. And, you know, he's a great player off the elbow. And he has a great feel for the game. It's a shame, really, how much he's been hurt. But when he plays like that, and Paul George is playing, who's a terrific wing player. But in the meantime, Maxey has had a fantastic year. And then Edgecombe, the rookie, is really terrific. So you just have to look and see who the heck is playing when you play those guys. And are they playing back-to-back when they come out here? Because if they're full, if everybody's playing, you move them way up in the East. You say, hey, I'm not excited about playing them in the first round. They've got a lot of positive pieces. But I love watching those two backcourt guys. Not many guys are faster than Maxey. Baseline to baseline. He is really he's having a great year. And Edgecombe, I think, is deferred a little bit to the older guys. I think in time, when he asserts himself, his role is defined. I think he's got a chance to be really special, Kev. He can compete. He sees the floor. Yeah. He plays defense. He rebounds. And it looks like, to me, he's got a heck of a personality. I saw a little segment on him. And he was just kidding around with Mosley and Maxey, and I said, "Oh, this is great. This guy's really special." That you love seeing young players like that.
Yeah, you mentioned Tyrese Maxey, all-star starter, well deserved. Almost he's around 30 points per game this year. They're in a barn burner of a contest right now in Milwaukee, 94-91. Sixers in the third quarter still. So look, that's not an easy 2-game homestand coming up, and it leads me to this. Gary, have you reset your goals for this season for Golden State? Like, I mean. Previously, I would have said on this 4-game road trip, pre-Jimmy Butler injury, pre-Jonathan Kuminga, we haven't really even touched Kuminga's injury that was suffered in Dallas. I mean, that guy was sorely missed last night in Minnesota. But I would have said 3-1 on this road trip because Dallas was a very gettable game if you're fully healthy. Then maybe 3-1, 2-0 at home against Detroit and Philadelphia, you catch them on the right night. Now I'm happy with 2-2 on this road trip, and if you can split Detroit and Philadelphia – and it's probably a more realistic goal for this team right now.
Yeah, and I think you and I are kind of optimists, but I totally agree with your breakdown. I think that will be a nice achievement if you can do just what you said.
Yeah, so we got a few minutes left. Again, if you want to get in here, 888-957-9570. Taking a look around some stuff around the NBA. Let's start the trade deadline's approaching. It's 9 days away, February 5th. How are front offices operating this time of year, Saint?
Well, I think I shared with you back in my day, we had a yellow legal pad and a number 2 sharp pencil. And maybe we were, trendsetters with a whiteboard instead of a chalkboard because we always had chalkboards in the old days. And, I can remember Nelly or somebody, get me some good chalk here that we can write with in dustless chalk so it isn't making a mess. Now they've got the computers, their iPads going, and they've got analytics and everything. And they've got a way, Kev, you know about this. I'm not a tech guy, but they can put players in their iPad or computer, put a correlating salary, and see if a trade will work. For example, yep. if you yep. wanted to do something with Kuminga and maybe it didn't work with Sacramento because you don't want to take any long-term contracts back, maybe you get a third team involved and yep. make it work that way. So that's easier to do nowadays than in my days. You know, let's talk about Kuminga quickly. There really isn't much of a market out there right now for him. And you can say you want to be traded, but right now, and they're not going to take any long contracts back. So let's hope this young guy gets back with the knee bruise, gets out there and just plays as well as he did those two games. What do you have, 30 points in 30 minutes? Just get out there. And you know what's going to happen then, Kev? You, Kuminga, you help your value, and then you might have a better team coming after you. And you also help the Warriors because maybe they're going to get a better team player coming back. So it could be a positive for everybody if he can get playing at a high level. And that would help him and the Warriors. And I don't think that's far-fetched. I think that can happen.
Yeah. Hopefully Jonathan can return to play sometime in the near future. He looked, like you mentioned, really good in the Toronto game. He was looking really good against Dallas. And then that leg injury, it looked nasty. Like, surprised he, like, stayed in the game for a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way it twisted. Was like, oh. Yeah. Tough luck for JK for sure. One other NBA topic is I have the Bucks on in the background. Giannis hurting his calf. Giannis Antetokounmpo, another calf strain. I think it's like his fourth one in the last year and a half. I was listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. That's what they were saying, like four calf strains in like the last two seasons or 18 months. And now he's out 4 to 6 weeks. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You know, you trade Middleton, he goes to Washington. You trade Leonard up to Portland. And you really, you know, you won a championship. And you made, you know, when those guys were on the roster, and you had a heck of a team. You know, Portis is really as good a big shooting wing as we have in the league.
Yeah.
And when you break down their roster now, it's not good. And sometimes that happens because – when you have a championship team, guys get rewarded with bigger contracts. Then you can't keep them all. So you're breaking down the team. And I don't know if he's going to come back. And you know what, Kev? This is another topic of discussion maybe for next week. All these calf injuries. And people are scared heck that it's going to lead to an Achilles.
Yeah.
And I was reading some veteran guy, I don't know, it was Paul Pierce or somebody, was talking about the pace of the game now. So many guys are having these injuries. But Antetokounmpo's a unique guy. He's a great guy, a great competitor. Only 31 years old, but a lot of miles on the tires. Mm-hmm. And I think big-time teams, I think they'll wait with him. And I think they'll sit him out. Maybe he'll want to play, but if they sit him out, they'll be in a lottery. Maybe they'll get in the top 5, 6, or 7. And maybe they can make a great deal and bring in some young assets because – I think the big cities. I think Miami, I think New York. I've heard Houston. Those teams are really high on trying to get him, and it would be a great get.
Yeah, that is for sure. All right, we have just about run out of time here on Warriors Roundtable. Big thank you to Mark Grandy, operating the show behind the glass in our 95.7 The Game studios. Big thank you to Marika Cleto and RC Davis on the Warriors side of things. For Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Dennis saying adios. We will speak to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step left wing three. Cha-ching! 58-41. Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout. Because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.